Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're about to listen to Bananas for Bonanza, episode 29. This is Andy Daly. Here on this free feed, I'll be re-releasing all of the back episodes of Bananas for Bonanza, one every other week. If you want to hear new episodes ad-free, please subscribe to my Patreon at patreon.com/AndyDaly. The entire Bananas for Bonanza archive is also waiting for you there, and you can access lots and lots of bonus content. So do that. Okay, thank you. Enjoy.
Yeah! Bonanza, it's the finest show alive. So consult your TV guide, get your great outdoors inside. Take some Ponderosa pride and forever may it ride. I'm Bananas for Bonanza.
Hey there. Yes, indeed. Is it? You feel we've tested the microphone?
We're good.
We're good. Okay.
That's the best I can do.
Ain't nothing can stop us from starting. Here we go. Holy crap. I saw that whip. I didn't know you knew how to use it.
I figured I'd change it up a little bit. Normally, I shoot a pistol off at the opening of the episode. This time, I cracked a bull whip.
Oh, boy. And it was a good one, too. Man, oh, man. I like a good whip sound, I tell you what. Well, this is Bananas for Bonanza, folks. You're listening to it. And we're going to talk about an episode of Bonanza today, which is, that's nothing new. We'll always do that. But there is something new today. I'm here. This is me, Dalton Wilcox. I'm your host. I'm the poet laureate of the West, God damn it. And I'm here with Mutt Taylor, guitarsman of the Journeymen.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. I gotta say, there's something in the air today. Just something about our guests got me all. I'm like a porcupine in a cactus patch. I don't know which way is up. I'm all cow simple.
Oh, stop.
I know what you mean. Because our usual other third person here, Amy Sleverson, is on assignment, is like what they say on the news.
That's right.
That's my way of saying I don't know where she is.
I'm not sure she knows where she is.
Right. I assume that's what they mean when they say it on 60 Minutes. You know, Scott Pelley is on assignment. They just can't find him. He's doing a 5-day drunk. But in this case, we've got a replacement in here. Oh man, oh man. This is your friend Amy Sleverson's, right?
That's right. I sure am.
Is you from the world of girl bosses and whatnot?
We met at a conference down in Tampa. We had a blast. We were drinking hurricanes.
Oh boy!
And then we became the Hurricanes, and we didn't stop till we got kicked on out of that bar. And it was the best night of my life. She is a hoot and a half.
A hoot and a half. Well, you go by Aunt Kitty.
I do. That's right, Aunt Kitty. No other way around it.
We reached out to Amy, and since she couldn't have been there, she says you got to get my friend Aunt Kitty.
Now, of course, I have to tell you both, and excuse me, because this is not the most dignified thing, but I'm a huge fan.
Of this podcast?
Of this podcast, of Dalton and Mutt and the whole Bonanza world.
Well, that is a refreshing change, I have to say.
I have a little confession of my own. I'm quite a fan of you.
Well, your face does look familiar.
Where the two of you have met before?
Well, I run a little establishment out in Harumph, Nevada.
The town of Harumph?
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
The town of Harumph, Nevada. And I've had Mutt in before, and he, for a while, was one of my best customers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but then I didn't want to shop around anymore. I always wanted to go to the top, Aunt Kitty, and she only has so much time for all her fellas.
Wait a minute. I'm getting some kind of a feeling about just the way you two is talking about this business. What's your business out there in Harumph?
Well, it's called Aunt Kitty's Good Time Titties and Family Fun Center.
Okay. Good Time Titties. What kind of a business is it now?
Just like it sounds, friend.
Yeah. Well, there's a twist, though.
Oh, okay. A titty twist.
A titty twist. You know, it's not your daddy's brothel, is all I'll say, because we have a range of activities for the entire family at Aunt Kitty's.
Okay. So, but it is a brothel.
It is definitely 100% a brothel.
So part of it is your daddy's brothel.
That's
it's
exactly right.
It's also
right.
Your mommy's, your babies, your sisters, sons, and daughters.
That's
brothel.
Right. We have activities for all ages. We have a big old slide. We have a bounce house.
What a great idea.
We got clowns.
Of course
you do. Is that bounce house used just for the family part or for some of the... You know what I mean.
Now, Mutt, that's just for the kiddos.
I've been trying to get you in there for what's going on 2 to 4 years.
I've been known to go bouncing.
Oh, my.
Oh, boy. Excuse me.
Careful with that.
Ow. He got me.
I wouldn't mind seeing Good Time Titties in the bounce house. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, anything can be arranged because Miss Kitties is where dreams come true. We have clowns. We have magicians. All of my girls can also, they're also registered official balloon animal makers.
Who do they register with?
The community of balloon animals out in Harumph.
Okay.
Wow. Man, that's official, man.
It is. They have little vests with badges on them.
Do they?
That they have to wear if they're going to make balloon animals.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear there's some goddamn regulation of the balloon animal business, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, that's been running amok for too long.
No kidding.
Whew, anybody can do balloon animals ends up looking, I made you a balloon worm or a balloon snake. Fuck you. I'm so mad at you.
Yeah, goddamn it.
Well, snakes, they do make a lot of snakes
and
swords and giraffes, mostly neck.
Mostly. This giraffe is all neck.
It's basically the neck of a giraffe.
Uh-huh. So only the neck of
the
giraffe.
Neck of the giraffe.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I get it. But I like this idea because you know how sometimes you'll have a couple and they've gone their separate ways, but daddy every once in a while needs to look after the child. And now he's a bachelor. He wants to go to a brothel and get laid, but he's stuck with his child. So you gone and solved his problem in 100 different ways. He can go there, have all the fun he wants, drop the kid off with a goddamn clown or a balloon snake, and it's all taken care of.
I couldn't believe it hadn't been done before, but apparently I'm the first.
Wow, you're an innovator. Now, it doesn't always have to be just a bachelor, right? You can bring the whole family, wife and all.
Oh, sure. We have lots of goods for women, too. So the brothel is not just for men.
What do you got for the women?
We have, Chris, who's our security guard, is available. And he's also a magician.
Meaning he does magic tricks or he's a real magic man?
Well, I'll say both.
Okay.
Okay, so a happily married couple can come to your place of business with their children. Children go to the bounce house. He goes and picks out one of them. I don't know, do you still call them whores these days or what do you call them?
I call them my gals.
Okay, right. Go picks out one of your gals. And then his wife, she can hang out with Chris.
And Chris is great.
Uh-huh.
It's just the one fellow.
It's just one guy.
I see.
There's less demand for the fellows, but Chris is great. He's got really long, gorgeous hair. He's about 6'5", 400 pounds.
Okay, that's
and
a big
he can,
man.
he does magic. So.
Is that all muscle or all not muscle?
I would say it's about 70-30.
Don't tell me which.
But he's a big boy nonetheless.
He's a big boy.
And I guess he's always ready to go, huh?
That's right. He's always ready to go. He can pull a rabbit out of your hat.
Oh, my.
Does he ever make a balloon animal of his ready to go?
It's off menu.
Oh, you just got to know to ask.
They're not going to put that up there on the board for the children to see. You know, you can get a giraffe neck or a sword or Chris's Johnson.
It's the same as the giraffe neck.
It's very similar.
I see. That's what they call it.
But we do two little balls at the end. You know, you twist them. And that's risky business doing that because that can pop.
In real life, too, friend.
If you twist them enough... Well, man, oh, man, I like this idea. You're open, what, 7 days a week, 24 hours a
That's
day?
That's exactly right. And we have a teen zone.
Oh, of
Whoa,
course.
What's going on here?
For the teens, we have a soda fountain, which they love.
Teens love soda. Yeah.
And there are no restrictions on this thing. I mean, they can drink as much as they want. And
they can combine sodas, I guess.
Oh, man, absolutely.
They love to do that.
You're the sizzler of soda fountains.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Beautiful.
Okay, well, that sounds marvelous, and I'm thrilled for you.
You really should check it
out.
I can vouch. Now, I'm no stranger to this place. I have a frequent customer punch card.
Oh, really?
Well, I've got multiple ones.
That's right. Buy nine, get your 10th on the house.
That's right. And literally, you go up on top of the house with, my last time up on top of the house was with Priscilla, and she was able to re-roof the house, if you know what I mean.
No, I don't.
Neither do I.
Oh, man. But you guys have been up on the roof a few times, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
You've had a few on the house.
That's right.
My goodness. Well, I'm going to have to check it out. Do you pre-screen your girls for monsterism? You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course we do. They are screened for everything.
You do the mirror test.
Absolutely.
You check them for bolts on their necks.
We do. And we make sure they're not witches.
Yeah, yeah. What's your witch test?
We dunk them.
Yeah,
you dunk. We put them in the dunk tank.
Okay, good. Oh, you got a dunk tank there?
Of course we do. Every Wednesday.
My understanding of the dunk test is that if they float, they're a witch. If they drown, they're not. So how are you ending up with workable gals?
Well, the dunk, we just say if they get dunked, they're not a witch.
Okay, that makes good sense.
Okay, I think I get that. So if you're in the dunk tank and people's throwing balls at that target and they never hit it, you're a good
Then they're
witch.
A witch.
Oh.
I see.
Because they're using their black magic to divert
stay
the balls.
Out of the water.
Oh, wow.
Okay, that makes perfect sense to me.
Too bad they didn't have dunk tanks back in the Middle Ages. Would have been a lot of gals not kilt. You know?
Oh, well. Hey, you're a big fan of Bonanza, too, isn't that
I
right?
I love Bonanza. I've seen every episode twice.
Two times!
I love it. It's my favorite TV show. Oh, boy, I love those Bonanza boys. They're always up to no good.
What's your favorite episode?
Episode 201.
201? What happens in that one? Is that the first episode of season two?
That's exactly right. Remember little Bonanza stubs his toe?
Hang on now. Little Bonanza.
It was a sea story.
You're talking about Little Joe, I guess.
Little Joe.
She calls him Little Bonanza.
And then they all go to the ball.
Oh, did they? They went to a social in that
episode, right.
Just as they did in the episode we're talking about today.
That's right.
I'm looking forward to seeing this again because season two, episode one's coming right up for us. So I look forward to comparing notes.
Right around the corner. I'm surprised you remember it so clearly.
And that's the one with the horses, too.
Oh,
the
what happened with the horses?
They're coming in and out and going all around. And
the horses.
They're coming in. Yeah, that one horse. It's the brown one's back.
Chub
or Cochise?
Yeah, Chub. Yep. Chubbs.
Uh-huh. Okay.
He's my favorite.
He's your favorite horse?
That's right. Of all horses, too, not just the Bonanza universe.
Which is your favorite of the Bonanza boys?
I like the middle one. I think he's the nicest.
Hoss.
Yeah, Hoss.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
He probably is the nicest, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's funny. You like Hoss's horse and Hoss.
I do.
Yeah.
My favorite.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So now this episode... Did you watch it again? Is this the third time you've seen this one?
This will be the third time I've seen this one.
You rewatched it again.
I think I know every word by heart. You gone done get stung by a skunk. That's my favorite line.
Yeah. I don't know if that's word for word, but yeah, it is.
You dong gung get stung by a skunk.
Yeah. I love the skunk scene when he says, get in this tub, boy. I'll scrub that skunk stink off you. Yeah. It makes me laugh every time.
Well, that is funny. Every, you, I tell you, you put Hoss and Little Joe on the screen, here comes laughter.
That's right. They get full episodes to themselves just clowning around sometimes.
So funny. Well, hey, I didn't say what I say at the beginning of every one of these episodes. So we're everything we've said so far, I guess we'll let it out. Hello, friend. Come on in. The gate is open wide. Welcome to Bananas for Bonanza. No, better yet, we'll take this, Brett, take this and slap it on the front. Welcome to Bananas for Bonanza. I'm your host, Dalton. Oh, I said that part. Everything's going to be. Brett, you just work it out. God damn it.
Stop it, Brett.
Come on.
Being difficult.
Yeah. This is, we're talking about season one, episode 29 today here with Mutt Taylor and Aunt Kitty. It's called Bitter Water. Bitter Water.
This one is dramatic.
This episode has everything. It's got ticks, disease, a puppy, a woman. It's got every damn thing you'd ever want in an episode of Bonanza.
A surviving woman.
Yep, yep, yep. She makes it all the way to the end. And I'm excited to talk about it with you guys. First, you know what I like to do? The first thing I like to do is talk about what was going on in this country when this episode aired.
Love this.
All right.
That's right.
Time this, capsule.
Yep. Little time capsule business. We're going to get right into it. Here we go. You ready?
Yep.
This episode aired on April 9th, 1960. And on that date, it was a Saturday, as it always is when this show was on there. This is a surprise. The number one song in the country that week was, you ready, Brett? The theme from A Summer Place by Percy Faith.
How many weeks running now?
It's been ever since we started doing this. Yeah. Which is this the third or fourth time? I don't know.
At least.
But, man, people couldn't get enough of this song. You know the song. Brett's playing it now in the background.
Oh, I love it.
It's a good one, right?
Yeah. Can you whistle it again?
Doo-doo. That's not whistling.
Beautiful. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Gorgeous.
That's nice. You better, wow, you ought to be a championship whistler.
I am.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I don't put that in my resume because I'm too many things. But yeah. I am. I'm also a champion. I am the Whistler Laureate of the West.
Wow.
Oh my golly.
Yeah. That is impressive.
Thank you very much. But I don't want to overwhelm people with distinctions when I talk about myself.
That one might tip it.
You're a humble man.
That's what I am, mostly. It must have sounded great, me whistling that with it playing in the background, probably not syncing up together.
Well, Brett, I think you should sync that up.
That sounds difficult.
And if you need to change the pitch of either one or both, Brett, I think that's what you should do. And I do apologize, Brett, for I know what you're going through.
That sounds difficult. But, hey, you know what? That song, A Theme from A Summer Place, it is similar to the theme song from Lawrence of Arabia.
Is it now?
Yeah, I believe it is. So,
Well, I guess the Arabian Desert could be considered a summer place.
All the time. It's permanent summers in their desert they got there. Well, anyway, that's just that's a fun fact that, in my opinion, those two songs have similarities.
That is fun.
Well, thank you for saying that.
Oh, my pleasure. And, okay, the number one movie in the country at this time, you're not going to believe this. It was Ben-Hur.
Oh, my.
That has also been the case every time we've talked about this.
I can't wait for a change.
A change in the number one movie?
Anything.
I don't know if a change is coming to either one. People in that time, 1960, they got a hold of something they liked. They said, damn it, I'm going to keep on with that. We're going to go see Ben-Hur again. And we're going to listen to the theme from The Summer Place on the way there and back.
Yeah. It's interesting that the theme from The Summer Place is number one, but the movie The Summer Place ain't number one.
Never hear about that movie.
No.
No, I've never seen it.
Me either.
Yeah, people hated it.
Why isn't the theme from Ben-Hur number one then?
Yeah, good point.
Ben-Hur rides in a chariot. Ben-Hur, what's he doing it for? For victory, for life, for glory and life, and his wife, Melissa Hur.
Melissa Hur?
Yeah. Is that really the thing from Ben Hur?
Sure,
it is.
Sure, yeah. I'd never heard it before. It doesn't even sound even a little bit familiar.
I love that.
Did you ever see Ben Hur? I never saw it. Did you ever see it?
Oh, no. I've never seen it. I only watch Bonanza.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. That's smart. You'll never improve so upon it.
So is Ben Hur a romance movie?
Not quite. It's an epic.
It's a biblical story.
Is it Chuck Heston?
Old Chuck Heston.
Yep.
He's riding around in a chariot or some shit. Yep. And I guess it's probably, if you had to choose between seeing the Ben Hur and Spartacus, two movies I ain't seen, which one would you choose?
I'd say Spartacus.
Yeah, why?
Because Stanley Kubrick made it. It's got Kirk Douglas.
And that's Kurt Russell's father.
It should be.
Kirk Douglas is Kurt Russell's father.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
And I think, isn't it right in Ben Hur, a man died in the chariot race or something?
Oh,
in
no.
The making of that movie?
I hate to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, is that in the movie? Does it make it in there? I wouldn't mind.
If I know
it.
Movies of that time, it probably
they had
does.
To use at least part of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right. Maybe we'll watch Ben Hur and Spartacus at the same time on two different TVs and see what happens. We got also on this date, April 9th, 1960, South African Prime Minister Hendrik Verwoerd survived an assassination attempt despite being shot in the face twice.
Jesus. Wow, that happened to one of my girls.
What?
Yeah, Nancy.
Really?
She got it. Yeah, two bullets came right, met in the middle, right through the ears.
And she survived?
She survived. She got bounced shot. Back out.
Somebody shot her. It must have been two different people shooting her in her ears at the same
and
time.
And bounced right back out.
Unless
and
it was one person spreading his arms and standing real close to her.
Yeah, he must have had long arms.
And
yeah.
The bullets met in the middle and bounced right back out the same way they came in.
A miracle.
That is a miracle. Kidding.
And did no brain damage or jaw?
Oh, no, there's a lot of brain damage.
Oh, I see. But she did survive.
Oh, yes, it made the paper.
What's she do around the fun center now?
Well, now we have her. She's one of the clowns. And she loves it. I mean, she's she gets so many tips.
What kind of clowning she do?
She does, well, she does a lot of the big shoes. She wears those funny big shoes that kids love.
No, that's just wearing.
She chases the kids. She loves to chase the kids around. She wears those big shoes, so she's falling.
She pursues the children.
She falls a lot because the shoes are so big, and we all laugh and laugh.
Okay, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, she loves it.
I will say, as a frequenter of the Family Fun Center, that is the one thing I've noticed that leaves me slightly off kilter every time I go.
Is it Nancy in the clown shoes? But she's having fun.
I will say she's in no other clown costume or makeup.
And actually, those aren't official. Clown shoes. She just borrowed Chris's shoes because his feet are so damn big. She just put those.
I see.
They're just big old Converse sneakers, and she's flapping around chasing after the kids.
Now you say chasing after the kids. I saw it as a sort of escape or flight.
You got her penned in pretty good there.
Well, the whole thing is gated off because we don't ever want the kids to make it into the main house of the establishment.
Sure.
So there's the barbed wire all around.
I see.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know what? I'll bet you brain damaged clown is not an unusual occurrence.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
You kind of have to be to go into that line of work anyway.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, not to throw shade at the clowning profession.
Sure.
You don't want those clowns coming after
not
you.
Nancy,
trust me.
Believe me.
Well, this prime minister of South Africa got shot two times in the face and went on to live a very happy life until 1966, six years later, if dimpled. But 6 years later, he was successfully assassinated with a knife.
Oh, fine.
So
it was the choice of weapon that was the problem.
He was impervious to bullets.
Well, that's a shame.
But the knife did him in. Yep, I guess he was a son of a bitch. Well, and as for celebrity birthdays, born on this day, April 9th, 1960, you have Jaak Aab, the Minister of Education and Research for the nation of Estonia.
He's phenomenal.
I know, right? He Rock previously star. Served as the Minister of Public Administration and the Minister of Social Affairs over there in Estonia, and that is a... That's the biggest celebrity I could find who was born on April 9th, 1960. And I reckon if you're in Estonia and you're in the, if let's say you're a teacher in Estonia, he's about as big as this celebrity as you can
get. April 9th is Jakob Day.
Jakob Day. It's spelled J-A-A-K and then A-A-B.
Oh.
And I looked up how to pronounce it. I didn't want to get it wrong.
Wow, impressive.
You know how you can go to some website and you say, I had to pronounce this. And then some robot lady says, Yock.
Oh, yeah.
Yock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ob. So it's Jakob. There's also a fun little news story out of Nevada. Speaking of Nevada, that's where you are.
That's right.
Where Bonanza takes place. It's northern Nevada, no less. There's an article about how. This is a great article, right up my alley. This is an article about saying that a herd of cattle that had been grazing for 2 years on the Atomic Energy Commission's 600-square-mile proving ground, which was the scene of 93 atomic explosions, this herd of cattle was doing just fine.
Well, so at what point was it doing just fine? At April 9th?
As of April 9th, 1960, they says between 1951 and I don't know when, 1960, I guess, they had blown up 93 atomic bombs up there.
I say give that cattle a few more years to see how they's doing.
Nope, they said they're just fine. Okay.
Feed the
beef.
Wow.
They're reproducing just fine. They're happy.
I'll bet they are. Just multiplying.
Yep. They had and there's a fella who, when they said, hey, we're going to put cows on this land and see what happens to them. We need a cowboy to rustle them up here and there. This fella stepped forward, a fella by the name of Kenneth Case, and he called himself the world's only atomic cowboy.
Wow. Wow. Well, what a hero.
What a hero.
Oh, I love that. How long did he live?
Well, I tried to find out that very thing, and I was not successful.
Really?
I think he probably was perhaps not authorized to give this interview and was disappeared immediately afterwards.
I see. That makes more sense.
Well, he's always welcome at Aunt Kitty's Good Time Titties.
You got any atomic whores?
Not yet, but maybe.
They might all be.
They might, because we are close to the grass patch where they pull up the bomb. The girls love to roll in it.
Oh, do they?
Yeah,
really?
Out in the sunshine.
Wow.
This fella, Kenneth Case, the only other thing I could find about him, this article came out, and then about a week later, he was on a game show, one of those, like, What's My Line
type
of things. They put him on there, and then he vanished from the face of the earth.
Oh.
I'd like write a song about him.
The Atomic Cowboy?
Yeah.
All right, do it.
Okay.
Who's stopping you? Go on. What's it sound like?
Oh. Well, there once was a man who was riding the range. His silhouette looked a mighty strange. Where there was a head, there was also a leg. And where there was a foot, there was a peg. Atomic Cowboy, you can marry my daughter. Atomic Cowboy, what you been drinking? What's in that water, boy?
Beautiful.
That was lovely. But very good.
I hope it sounded good with the theme from A Summer Place playing.
I'm sure it did. Brett, could you sync that up? No, I don't care if you got to change the pitch on one or both. Just make sure it works.
Make it work. And now you can fade it out. You can fade out the theme from A Summer Place. Playing that whole damn time. Okay, so that's all what's all going on there April 9th, 1960. Good stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Now
fascinating.
Yeah, right? Different world. You want to hear some fun facts about this episode of Bonanza?
Sure do.
Do I?
Well,
now,
do you?
I know you love the show, but how much do you get into the nuts and bolts of the production or the behind the scenes?
I do not want to know how the pudding's made.
Right.
Oh, really?
Oh, no. I'll do it for you, and I like to hear it on the podcast, but I don't get on that Google, that internet.
Right.
I don't trust it. I don't know who's posting those things, so I'm assuming you're doing your due diligence and fact-checking everything.
Oh, don't do that. I have no idea who has provided the information I'm sharing with you.
That's fine. I'm sure it's real. I'm anybody that appreciates the show Bonanza is an upstanding individual, so by definition can be trusted.
I think that is true.
That's probably true. What possible reason would you have to lie about any aspect of Bonanza?
Unless you're a Gunsmoke fan or a Deadwood boy, then you might be putting up false information. I rescind my earlier comment.
Good point. Good. What's Gunsmoke? I never heard of that before.
Not me either.
Well, this episode was directed by a fellow by the name of George Blair. This was the only episode of Bonanza he ever directed, but he directed a lot of episodes of The Adventures of Superman.
Oh.
He did with George Reeves, and he has two very exciting movies. One is called Insurance Investigator. And the other is called Post Office Investigator.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Do these have exclamation marks in the title?
I wish.
They don't need them.
You don't need them.
You knew how to read it.
There's no other way to read it. Try to read that in a boring way. Insurance Investigator. You can't be done.
Insurance
Investigator.
It comes out at the end. Wow. Golly.
Insurance Investigator.
You can't do it.
Can't do it.
Oh, you got a twinkle in your eye, Miss Kitty.
It's like trying to say the word macaroni without smiling. You can't do it.
Macaroni.
Oh, macaroni.
Same way you can't say insurance investigator without excitement in your voice. Hot damn. So those are two very exciting movies George Blair did. Hey, now, here, this is going to blow your mind, I think. Are you ready to have your mind blown?
Yeah, always.
This episode was written by a fellow named Harold Jack Bloom. He and Roald Dahl wrote You Only Live Twice.
What? I knew Roald Dahl did, but I didn't recognize the other fellow's name. How about that?
How about it?
And that would have been 65?
So, yeah.
5 years from now, he's going to write a James Bond movie, which to this point doesn't even exist.
Is that right?
62 was Dr. No Finger.
Oh, Dr. No Finger.
Yeah.
I got a no finger. You know what? I got one finger that I pull out when I need to say no. I'm not going to tell you which it is.
When you need to say no.
When I need to say no to somebody, I have one finger that I pull out and I put in the air, and then I say no. That's
and
my
you
no
hold
finger.
It with two other fingers and wag it like you That's otherwise right. would wagging your
because
finger.
Because that finger, my no finger, is disabled.
I see.
Oh, and you keep it in your pocket?
Keep it in my pocket. Yep. I took it off of somebody. I don't want to get into it.
But okay.
Yes. It didn't start out as my finger. It started out as somebody who growed on a different body, but I have it now.
Oh.
That's my no finger.
Wow.
And it's not a doctor. But now,
you only live
what happens there and you only live twice? Is that a good one?
It's pretty good in that they go to Japan.
Oh, yeah.
And gets real odd when they try to make Sean Connery into an authentic Japanese man, including prosthetic eyelids.
Oh, right. Oh, I've seen this.
Yeah. It's rough in that sense. But it also has the largest and most expensive set to the time, which is Blofeld's Volcano. Now, what's interesting is there is virtually nothing from the novel in the movie, and the new James Bond, No Time to Die, has more of the novel of You Only Live Twice than the film does.
Isn't that something? Mm. Can you tell that Roald Dahl had his fingers in
it? Oh, sure, because Charlie from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory makes a huge appearance.
Charlie Bucket does?
Charlie Bucket, Augustus Gloop, Veronica Balker.
They all come into the James
all
Bond
of them, into
Japan
Blofeld's Lake. Say, Mommy, Daddy, I want a Blofeld ninja now.
That makes sense. Don't drink out of that river of lava.
How could you resist, though?
Augustus Gloop drinking from a river of lava.
It should have been the novel, because in the novel, Blofeld has a poisonous garden of death. And it would be like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. It just invite these kids in. In fact, I think the thing is that citizens who want to commit suicide are known that they should jump the wall and come in and eat some of the flowers. So he keeps finding dead people.
Oh, and that's
garden.
In the book?
Yeah.
Wow.
Also, James Bond has amnesia and gets, I believe he has a son.
He has a son.
He has a child.
He does?
He gets married, yeah.
James Bond has a child?
Yeah.
Wow.
See, you know what I'm saying with no time?
No, this sounds fascinating.
Yeah, how excited. Hey, let me ask you, speaking of James Bond and amnesia, this is way off topic and probably doesn't deserve to be in this episode.
I bet it's different by the setup already.
All right. There's a moment in one of them more recent movies where a bad guy says to him, I'm going to drill a tiny hole in your brain and you're not going to remember anything anymore. Yeah. And he goes ahead and he does it.
Oh.
That's Blofeld.
Is it?
Yeah. Right.
He completes the thing. And then James Bond gets out of there and he remembers everything just fine. What's going on there?
I believe he says, if I get it right.
Oh, I see.
So he's got to, like, do it. Possibly he'll get it on the first time.
Oh, I see.
But he must have missed it.
But there's an explosion, right?
Yeah, Bond uses his
little watch.
Yeah. Right before he says, I love you, to a woman he just met.
Oh.
Or she says it to him.
Oh, right.
Okay. But he, here forward, has a tiny hole in his brain from a tiny drill.
I think he's got two.
Oh, he's got two.
Yeah.
Tough way to go through life, just like your clown there.
That's right. She's having fun. She's loving it. Oh, she's chasing those kiddos all around. She's loving it. Laughing all the time.
Yeah.
Just hands out, grabbing.
Last time I saw her, she was eating her way through a sack of flour.
I mean, we let the girls have whatever they like. We got tons of snacks for the gals.
You said the only thing she's wearing that's clown-like is those big shoes. What else has she got on? I just want a visual picture.
It's usually some sort of floral robe.
Okay, yeah, floral robe.
So she's not working as a gal anymore.
Oh, no, that no. She's graduated to clown.
Graduated,
and
wow.
We pay the clowns well. I mean, I told you, she's making tips up the wazoo. It's no joke.
I don't know how to take that phrase.
Tips up the wazoo?
In this context, yeah.
Yeah, tell her, you should give her a tip jar.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this episode, the character Todd McCarron in this episode was played by a fellow named Don Dubbins. He was in a bunch of stuff, lots of Dragnet episodes, but this is the thing that excited me. He was in an episode of The Incredible Hulk.
Oh.
In which David Banner is temporarily blinded through some chemical accident. Now, that must mean the Incredible Hulk is blinded too.
Right.
Can you imagine that?
Big blind Hulk.
A big Hulk?
That's a bull in a china shop
no
for
kidding.
You.
They must have said to themselves, how can we make the Hulk more dangerous? There's no way to do it. Wait, what if he can't see where he's going?
Oh, my.
Talk about blind rage, blind fury.
Yeah, blind gamma ray rage.
Oh, wow.
So gamma we might rage. Have to watch that one. I can't wait to see the Incredible Hulk. He can't see where he's going, doesn't understand what's happening. Who turned out the
light? Oh, wow, scary.
That's a good one. Well, Don Dubbins was in that. Don Dubbins also, here, this will come up later. His last performance was as Willie Loman in The Death of a Salesman at the Warehouse Theater in Greenville, South Carolina.
Oh, right. Seminal production as far as I've heard.
That's the one to see. And you just file that away because it's coming up later. Now, Mary Anders played Virginia Keith. She's in a movie called The Dalton Girls.
Whoa.
I read that and I says, I got to get myself.
Wow.
Get myself some girls. It turns out it's about the sisters of the Dalton gang or some shit, but it did make me think, and I don't know, maybe you know something about, what if I, everywhere I went, was trailed by, I don't know, 5 or 6 girls?
I think that sounds great.
You probably set them up with that, couldn't you?
Of course. Oh, yeah. Well,
I know one specifically.
She'll get you, though, in those big shoes. But, no, I can arrange that. They'd love it. A little game of follow the leader.
Yeah, a little something. I don't know. Just give me that idea. The Dalton Girls. I like the name.
I like it.
Like the little duckies trailing behind their mama duck.
Yeah.
And you're the mama duck.
Hey, all right. I don't know about that. That seems emasculating. Well, and Mary Andrews was also in a movie called Tickle Me. Let me tell you what this is. This is Elvis Presley. Gets a job as a ranch hand on a ranch, but it turns out to be a fitness salon referred to as Yogurt Gulch, where actresses and models go to lose weight and get in shape.
Oh, that sounds fun.
The one with the yoga song?
Is it?
Oh, I love that song.
It must be. Elvis has a song about yoga?
Yeah, like yoga is as yoga does or something like that.
Oh, I got to see this.
I've showed it to you. I mean, at the, you know what I mean, at the ranch.
Yeah.
At the fun center.
Yeah.
It's super catchy. It's probably worth Googling.
It does sound familiar. And the movie's called Tickle Me.
Tickle Me.
Yoga.
I don't know why it's called
Tickle
Me. How's
that go, that yoga song?
I'm going to look it up right now, goddammit.
Put in Elvis and yoga is as yoga does or something. And
Elvis?
And who's the old woman in it? She's not old, but she's like.
Yoga is as yoga does.
Is that what you're seeing?
That's what I'm seeing. You ready to hear this?
Yeah.
It might just change our lives forever. I'm ready.
It's just super catchy.
All right. That's an ad, goddammit. That ain't it. That ain't Elvis. Your video will play after the ad. When do they decide to do that to me and they don't give me the choice to skip it?
Sometimes that's the client pays more to do that.
Sons of bitches.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Wait, that's my brightness.
I wonder if this is from that movie.
It must be.
You'd think.
It will never do.
Yoga is as yoga does. There's no in between. You're either with it on the ball or you blow the scene. I can see looking at you.
What's happening in the video?
They're in a yoga room, right?
Oh.
Twisted like a pretzel.
Oh, the video's even better.
Oh, the video's even better.
Real simple song.
Cashy as hell.
That's a hell of a song. I can hear the pills clinking in the background.
I can't remember who the yoga mistress is. She's some famous actress. Oh, well.
Yeah. Well, okay. That's a great song.
Is it Elsa Lanchester? No, it can't be. Sorry.
In the movie Tickle Me?
Well, whoever, whatever movie the yoga one comes
it's
from.
It's got to be this one. How could it not be? Boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
Good for you, Elvis. He really, that seems like it must have been the high point of his career.
Before you blow the scene.
Blew the scene, man.
Yeah.
Talk about a well-managed career. From beginning to end. Well,
okay.
This episode also featured a fellow by the name of Robert F. Simon. He played Len Keith in this episode. He was the understudy to Lee J. Cobb in the original production of Death of a Salesman.
Wow, real theme.
Yep. You imagine that? Understudy to the most famous role in theater.
Almost. So close.
So close. No cigar.
So close. Yeah. He was in a movie called, The First Traveling Sales Lady.
Oh.
These all sound so good.
Right. Oh. That's interesting to me. But he was also in a movie. This one's crazy. It was called Rugi's Bump.
Rugi's Bump?
Rugi's Bump.
Rugi's Bump. Okay. About,
I've seen Boogie's Rump, but I've never seen Rugi's Bump.
Well, that was the problem. They two got confused. The plot of this one is a young boy who loves baseball develops a strange bump on his arm.
Wow.
The bump has such an effect on his pitching arm that he soon finds himself playing for a Major League Baseball team.
What year was this made?
1950s, somewhere
is
there.
Is the bump evil?
We don't know.
It's helping him in some way.
It has to be a catch. It sounds to me like the old fairy tale about the red shoes. Oh, the dancing shoes.
What's that? The shoes make you dance beautiful.
They make you dance, but then you die.
Because you just dance.
You dance too much.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if Rugi dies or they have to cut off his arm.
Wow, that is a big one. Would you take a big bump if you could play professional baseball?
Yeah.
The only downside is you got a bump, and some people think it's unsightly. Mm-hmm.
How big is the bump in this?
I don't know. I don't know Rugi.
Yeah.
But in your...
In mine, it's the size of a bowling ball.
Bowling ball?
Is it the same mass and weight?
No, it's not that heavy.
Okay.
It's maybe 6 pounds.
Well, that's pretty heavy.
That's heavy. You got a 6-pound bump on your elbow, on your arm?
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
You can put it in a little bag or...
Look like you're always carrying a purse in your elbow crook.
Yeah.
Can you get it removed or drained?
No, well, you could, but then you can't play professional baseball.
I see.
Well, that's not too bad.
Ooh, maybe I'd do it for a time.
There you go.
Yeah.
1 year as a Major League Baseball player, you put it, I don't know. I was going to say you get all them endorsement deals, but do they want to put you in a TV commercial with a bowling ball size bump on your arm?
Unless it's a bowling commercial. Yeah. I'd just pitch for 2 to 3 years, then have it excised and retire on my earnings.
There you go.
I don't know if a 1950s baseball player was making that much money, though.
I don't think so.
Probably not.
This current day?
This is 2005.
Oh, 2005. Interesting. Okay, I wonder why.
Then I think you're making a pretty good payday, but by today's standards, Justin, for inflation, still probably worth it. Yeah, okay, I'm in.
And you could endorse bump cream.
Oh, right.
That's right.
You know, they put you in a bump cream commercial.
Goiter begun.
What?
Goiter begun.
Yeah, that's an example of something you could endorse. One thing I found in my research for this episode, which I'd never seen it before, because I've seen it many times in people's resumes that they was on the Goodyear Theater.
Mm.
And I guess I've also seen many times that they was on the Goodyear Playhouse.
Mm.
But this is the first time I realized that there's both a Goodyear Theater and a Goodyear Playhouse.
Are they affiliated?
They gotta be, right?
Right, yeah.
So that's just, I'm just putting a pin in that as something to explore at a later time.
We often get actors been in the Schlitz Playhouse of Stars. Is that
right?
Oh,
that's correct.
Right, that's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep, Schlitz and Goodyear were major providers of entertainment in our country.
No kidding.
All right. Well, that's all the fun facts I found, and we're going to look into that. Well, I'd like to know which one was better, Goodyear Theater or Goodyear Playhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is a more distinguished thing to have on your resume, goddammit. Well, now we're going to talk about this episode. You ready?
Yep.
All right.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Go.
Bitter water. This is one of the best ones I think we've ever seen.
It's so many ups and downs.
Wild episode. Wild. We got a fellow by the name of Todd McCarrion, and he is surveying his land, which abuts, I suppose, the Ponderosa.
Yeah.
And he's going to sell it to Lynn Keith for mining purposes.
How dare he?
Yep. Todd McCarrion going to send it to sell it to Lynn Keith. Who comes up upon him? All the Cartwrights, do they? I forget who. Anyway, some combination.
No Little Joe. Is it just Adam and Pa?
Adam and Pa, that's right. And Adam sees what's going on. Hey, Todd McCarrion surveying, what's that about? And Pa says, there's only one way to find out. Let's ask him. True, he's right.
Yeah, he's always got the answer, man.
That's right.
When he's asking.
Yeah, they find out. And that's what he wants. Now, the problem for the Cartwrights is that if his land is going to be mined, it's going to gum up their water, because somehow the water passes through the McCarrion's land onto the Ponderosa, and they have an agreement, don't foul up our water with Danny Wade, damn it. But so it's a problem.
Yeah.
That's why I guess why they call this episode Bitter Water.
You know, because Aunt Kitty and I spend so much time together, we's watching Yellowstone and Outer Range, and virtually every one of these shows and episodes is about people meeting at their fence saying, give me this land, you give me that land. It's the same shit.
Property wars.
Well, you got to spend your time doing something they didn't have in the 1860s. They didn't have television shows. That's like true. Bonanza. Right. If the Cartwrights could have watched Bonanza, everything would have been much more relaxed.
Well, why didn't they just watch themselves?
They should have just watched themselves and their own antics.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Speaking of antics, the next scene that we got Hoss reading a book called The Care and Training of Dogs, because he has come upon a stray dog and man, oh man, it's just hilarious. Him trying to get hold of this dog to give him a bath.
It's so funny because those dogs get slippery when they're wet.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. And he's got to give that dog a bath because he's covered in ticks. He's covered in important story ticks.
Oh, I hate ticks.
Yeah.
Well, is that where the ticks come from in the first place?
The first time we hear about ticks, the dog is covered in ticks.
Hoss is responsible for all
that. Right. That's called foreshadowing, and it's just the little innocent dog.
But he's got a plan to get rid of the ticks, which involves this sulfur soap with sulfur on it. And that's what he's going to wash this dog in. And along comes Little Joe, who's been, as you say, stung by a skunk.
Dungung stung by a skunk.
And Hoss wants to give him a bath with this sulfur soap, too, but he didn't want to hear about it.
No, that's right. I mean, I can't imagine. The bath probably smells really bad.
Yeah.
Sulfur, that's when I boil my eggs in the morning.
Oh.
Is that the sulfur smell?
Yeah, you boil them in sulfur?
Yeah, and then it's devil sulfur smell. I eat a lot of eggs.
She does.
I keep my figure.
She is a huge figure. That's how she keeps it.
Yeah. So what happens there? They're going to a social. They're all going to a social.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Andy McCarrion is the father of Todd, and Ben goes to visit him, I guess. Is this when he visits him?
Yeah
or something. And they both say, oh, there's no silver on this land. It's silly of Todd to be talking about selling it to Lynn Keith. I don't think he's going to go through with it. Don't worry. And yes, indeed, we have a water rights agreement. He can't do any mining on. Everything's fine between Andy McCarrion, the elder McCarrion, and Ben Cartwright.
Right.
So we think.
Agreed.
So, seems like everything's fine. If the episode ended here, we'd say, well, all right, that got straightened out.
Go to the ball. Yeah.
Yep. But then we go to the Lynn Keith's mansion, and he sees Todd McCarron. He says, "How's my future son-in-law?" Which is great. Just tells you right off the bat who this is, who they are to each other.
Yeah,
Mango.
Yeah.
And Todd tells him, "Well, this water rights business, I can't sell you my land for mining because all this water rights bull." Right? And then we're back to Hoss and his puppy. Why? I don't know. Basically, blah, blah, blah. Then we got, Ben talks to Lynn, right? Lynn comes by, and Ben really lays into him. These two don't like one another.
No.
Lynn comes by the Ponderosa, and he happens to show up during shoe brushing time. Everybody's brushing their shoes for the social time.
High tea at 4 o'clock, shoe brushing 5 o'clock. Supper at 6.
Yeah, but he comes in, he interrupts their shoe brushing, but they Ben and Lynn really get into it. Ben and Lynn don't.
That's
like
right.
It.
That's when Ben says to Lynn, "You're a no good son of a guy."
Yeah.
I love that line.
Son of a guy.
Son of a guy.
And Lynn says, "Well," he issues some kind of threat. I didn't write it down.
He's, "I'm going to get you, little guy."
Something like that. Now we're at the social, and the Cartwrights are just lingering by the punch bowl, and Todd McCarron is dancing with his fiance there, and then and Ben says, "Hey, I found somebody to dance with," and he just wordlessly grabs a woman, and they just wordlessly waltz off.
You don't need words when you got dancing.
You got chemistry.
That's right.
They have real history there, but one we'll never know of.
Right.
I think Ben gets around.
It seems that way.
It does.
Well, he's been
now,
three
what's
wives.
The fiance's name? Veronica?
Virginia.
Virginia, yeah.
Sometimes Jenny, they call her.
Jenny, she's lovely.
She is gorgeous.
You must have known there was one episode where Ben had a bit of a relationship with a woman of ill repute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It happens.
Oh, sure it does. And she died, didn't she?
She must have.
She must have got some fever and passed away.
Yeah.
Well, now we got, Todd just hauls off and punches Adam. And now this is when we get to the nut of the problem here, that Todd has come under the sway of his future father-in-law.
That's right.
Who is an evil man. And Todd has just become he's in a constant state of anger and hatred.
He really is.
At all times. We don't know. What's he angry about? I don't know, but he's always angry.
He's entitled to a certain lifestyle.
That's right.
And he's just not happy just being him.
Yeah.
And Jenny loves him just for him.
Right, exactly. And she don't care about money.
She don't want to marry her daddy.
No way.
Right.
So he must have had a real bear of a mama because his daddy is real sweet.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, he's just an old coward.
Wait, is Todd and Jenny, they're engaged or no?
Yeah.
Oh, I had it right.
Of course you did. You've seen these twice.
Three times.
Three times now.
Right.
Well, now here's where we find out. Keith is Roy. Oh, okay, yeah. Roy is one of the guys who works for Lynn. And he's beating the hell out of a guy in the bunkhouse or whatever. And turns out this fella sold him cattle that's covered in ticks and has the Texas fever.
Well, that's where the puppy got it.
You don't think the puppy gave it to him?
Oh, patient zero.
Yeah, the monkey from Outbreak.
That's right. That damn monkey.
The monkey from Outbreak gave the ticks to the dog who gave them to the cows?
No, the monkey from Outbreak gave the ticks to Patrick Dempsey, who at the time couldn't get a leading role, so he just did a small part in the opening of that movie. He gave it to the dog, to the cows, went back in time and got a time machine, and then...
If I had a time machine, I was just thinking this, I'd go back in time and kill that monkey.
From Outbreak? Mm-hmm. Not the dog from Bonanza.
Outbreak.
Yeah.
It's the first thing you do with the time
machine.
That's
right. And then I'd go to the 80s.
Oh, then what? What'd you do there?
I'd go have fun.
Oh, really?
In the 1980s.
What kind of fun?
I don't know. Maybe I'd just go to a diner.
A 50s diner from the 80s?
Oh, yeah. It's the truth. If 50s diners in the 50s were no good.
No.
It took 30 years to perfect the 50s mm-hmm. diners.
That's right.
Yeah, 50s diners. The 80s was the golden age of 50s diners.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like, never mind. I don't have a thought.
If you opened a 50s themed diner in 1955, that would have been crazy.
No one would know.
No one would know.
I know. It's just bad business.
It's terrible business. So, even if you put a jukebox in there, people would say, yes, that's what we have.
Yeah.
Okay. So, cows are dying and so on and so forth. Now, here's something interesting. There is a shot, I guess they call it an establishing shot. Here's the pudding being made, of Virginia City, where it's a bustling street scene in Virginia City. And I'm looking at it and I says, hey, I've seen that before. Because there's a shot of a Native American people's person fighting over a jug of something with another guy. And that happened in episode 127, The Last Trophy. That same shot. And now it's got me wondering how many damn times they've had it. I only noticed it, and I don't know why I noticed it in 127.
Well, we got to start keeping tabs.
We got to keep tabs on Native American people's person fighting over jug establishing shot of Virginia City. How many times they use it.
By the way, Did this episode have the Bonanza theme song for you?
Yeah.
Not ours. What? We watched together. We was cuddling in bed.
Oh, my goodness. You too. I like it.
Listen to me. We first watched it on Plex, but something was up with the server, and it just got all pixely. So we went to YouTube.
Yeah.
And it had a different theme song, not the one that they replaced it with before. This was a different one.
What the hell is going on?
Can you believe that?
I can't believe it. I don't want to believe it. I
don't know what's going on.
Who's messing around with the goddamn theme song?
Yeah.
Sons of bitches, that's a perfect theme song.
Right. Does this episode have the burning map?
Oh, let me check my notes. Yes, I'm sorry. I've neglected to say this is the 29th episode of Bonanza to feature the burning map. That's one of the fun facts. Yeah. That was there under fun facts. Yeah, can you believe that?
Wow.
That's wild. Okay, so now, what did I just tell you? I told you about that Virginia City thing. Okay. They come up with an idea to heal all of the cattle, which is a sulfur dip.
Genius.
Yeah, I believe Ben Cartwright solved a major problem of the world was facing at this time.
Exactly. He come up with, because it's true, all these cattle was getting Texas fever, and the way to solve it was you go ahead and you fill up a pit full of sulfur and water, and then you force the cows into it and out of it, and that's it. You just dip them in the sulfur, and that's it.
Yeah, you put them in a line, one by one. They go down into a little hot tub. And come on out. I think that's a great idea. I'd pay money to do that.
I would too. Wouldn't you love to take a sulfur dip?
That sounds nice to me.
I bet they're doing that at Yogurt Gulch with Elvis Presley. We're done. Yoga at 10 a.m., then straight to the sulfur dip.
Before you blow the scene.
Yeah. Solid. We'll have to Google whether he's got any songs about the sulfur dip. Well, and then I didn't say that Len's got a plan, so he's got some diseased cattle on his ranch, and he says, I tell you what, let's put them on the Ponderosa, and we'll kill all of their cattle. So that's his evil plan.
Horrible.
But Ben thwarts it with the sulfur dip, but before he can get that sulfur dip going, Len Keith's terrible men say, wait a minute, they're obviously up to something to solve the problem we made for them. We got to shoot them, and so there's a shootout. They try to kill Hoss.
It's so exciting.
That was exciting. He's just trying to ride back from town with a buckboard full of sulfur.
Yeah.
And they goddamn tried to kill him.
Yeah.
But Little Joe happens upon the scene, and he kills one of them and runs the other one off. Now, that's when we get a little bit of a murder mystery. It's like, well, who was it that we shot? This dead man, a fellow by the name of Roy. And eventually they track it down through good old shoe leather detective work. And they figure out, this guy Roy works for goddamn Len Keith. And they go up there to talk to the other guy, Tucker, the one they run off. And Adam ends up shooting him. And Len Keith ends up killing him. Right? He kills his own foreman to keep the foreman from ever telling anybody we diseased your cattle on purpose.
Shoots him at the same time that Adam does.
Yeah, it's real weird.
Yeah.
The way they shot it was weird.
And he said, oh, I thought you missed.
Yeah.
Those were his dying words?
No, his killing words.
That's right.
That was Len Keith.
You know that. I don't need to tell you that.
Characters don't often get dying words on this show.
No.
You get shot, and doesn't matter where you get shot, it's lights out.
The only thing you get is a dying, like, stretch exercise where you arch your back real slow and kind of do a little, and then slowly lie down on the ground so as not to hurt yourself. Sometimes.
Len Keith almost got some dying words in this episode, not to spoil it, but he says to he says, Virginia, and then he dies. Right. We never know what it is that he might have wanted to say.
I know. I wonder if it was maybe Virginia, their treasure maps in the the credenza.
Oh my God.
Or what are you? Virginia. I think, you know what I think it was going to say? Mm. Virginia, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Yes. I think he was going to say, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus.
Okay. So now, what do they say here? There's going to be a shootout. There's going to be an attack. Right? Don't they decide there's all the ranchers are going to... Oh, yeah.
Todd's, he's getting what's essentially a legal posse.
Yeah, Todd gives a big speech in town. He says, hey, they've got the Texas fever out there on the Ponderosa and they're going to kill all our cattle before long. We got to get up there and all of us get our rifles and go up there and kill everybody and all the cows and let's do it.
Yeah.
And everybody says, okay. And they go right up there and do it. But then they discover, they see it in progress, the sulfur dip.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big, kind of showdown of words and whatnot. And Len Keith is there. And Len Keith, he draws his gun on Adam, doesn't he?
Oh, he does after his Todd's father and Virginia arrive.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Todd's father shows up to you. To talk some sense into Todd. Well, anyway, Len Keith gets gunned down, goddammit.
Oh, what a shock. Every time I see it, I can't believe it. I said, oh, no, he didn't. And then he falls right off that horse, and then he's dead.
That's it.
I can't believe it. I screamed.
Boy, you have seen this.
I screamed, and I sobbed. Every time I see it, I sob. Oh.
You sob, but he's the villain.
I know, but everyone has a little good in them.
Oh.
And that's Aunt Kitty's personal motto.
Everyone has a little good in them.
And you aim to find it.
So, okay, then, Todd, the spell is broken. The moment Len Keith dies, Todd goes back to being the sweetheart, Todd McCarron. He says, I'm not going to sell the land, far from it. Me and my new bride are going to settle on it and live here. And
it's the old 50s trope of bring down the mothership and all the minions turn out from under its spell.
Yeah, the flowers bloom. Everybody that's been turned to stone comes back to life.
Yep.
Yep, and they're just as happy as can be. And so now the good old... Ben says it. He says, you two are going to make wonderful neighbors. Yeah. And there's peace in the valley again.
Oh, that's nice. Until next week. Oh.
Until next week, there's more problems for these goddamn Cartwrights.
What's it? Give us a little...
what happens in episode 30?
Oh, so next week's the infamous episode where all of the girls go missing.
What?
All the girls.
What
in the,
girls?
All the girls.
All
go missing. They disappear. No one knows where they got to. So the boys have to go out all together on a journey to find them. They got to go down to the caves.
Oh, is it all the women of Virginia City go missing?
That's right.
Okay.
All disappear. One second they're there. The next second, they're gone.
Do they go to the Philip Dietesheimer honeycomb-engineered mining caves?
That's right.
They go down into the mines?
They go down into the mines.
Why did you say that, then?
They're hiding.
You said caves.
Yeah.
But, okay, they're why are they hiding? What are they hiding?
I don't want to give away any spoilers.
Oh, thank you.
You're gonna have to watch it. It's the best. It's my second favorite episode after this last one.
So we'll be watching that one next, episode 30, All the Women Disappear into the Mines.
I'm looking forward to that.
Wow.
I know. Just wait till they find them.
Yeah. Okay. They do find them?
Yeah.
They find them alive?
I can't say.
Yeah.
Is it a veritable fuck fest?
Well, you'll have to wait and see.
I have a feeling I know why it's your second favorite episode, Aunt Kitty.
Aunt Kitty.
You think there might be a fuck fest in the next episode?
And in the caves.
I think so. I should mention that the reason she's called Aunt Kitty is she is literally my aunt.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
We're a close family.
We sure are.
Oh.
Proximity, emotionally, physically.
Step aunt, we should also say.
Okay, that's a little better. I like that a little better.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that took a turn. Well, folks, okay, that's an episode. God damn, you know what? We only have 402 episodes left of Bonanza to talk about on this show.
It's going to feel real dark when we break 400 episodes left. There's only going to be 399. That's going to feel close.
And it's right around the corner.
Yeah.
Right around the corner.
Oh, boy.
Shit. Well, all right, damn it. That's an episode, and next time we're going to do a banana. We're going to do a bonus Nana for bonus Nanza. So tune in for that next time. All right, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bananas for Bonanza is brought to you by Andy Daly with
Maria Bamford, and Matt Gourley. Theme song by Matt Gourley with The Journeyman, which in this case are Mark McConville, Daniel Michikoff, and Wade Ryan. Bananas for Bonanza is mixed and edited by Brett Morris and executive produced by Andy Daly, Matt Gourley, Brett Morris, and Little Scott Aukerman. We'll see you next time.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.